This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الذين آمنوا وتطمئن قلوبهم بذكر الله ألا بذكر الله تطمئن القلوب وقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اذكروا الله ذكرا كثيرا وسبحوه بكرة وأصيلا صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected brothers and any sisters listening, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. When we engage with our minds to create something, the human can become very creative. So when you plan, when you try and create something, whatever it is, the human proceeds and starts creating ideas. When we use our hands, with those hands, we're able to make something, we're able to do something. When you use your feet and your legs to run, you're able to move certain distances in short amount of time, short spaces of time. When you use different parts of your body, you're able to get and achieve different things. When we use our heart, when I say heart, I mean our spiritual heart. When you use your spiritual heart to find Allah Azza wa Jal, then you can move from the earth to the heavens. You can connect up with Allah Azza wa Jal, as in the heart is something Allah has created for the dhikr of Allah. Allah has said the whole body, from top to bottom, there is no way that that body will find any true inner peace except through the remembrance of Allah. أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ Only through the remembrance of Allah will those hearts be completely tranquil. The mind that we have, the inside and all our thoughts and everything we've got running behind these eyes and behind our skull and behind this chest, Allah Azza wa Jal has kept a very, very specific machine in there. That is our soul, our spiritual heart. And what we can do is, if we know how to connect up in the right way, we function the best. This is the diesel or the petrol of the body. This is the main electricity that runs through the body to make it alive and to make it well and put it into a good state of being, which is when my heart connects up and my mind connects up with Allah Azza wa Jal. When we sit down, or when we are standing, or when we are lying down, in any of these states, when we have our hearts connected to Allah Azza wa Jal, we are keeping the entire body alive. The body, the soul, the whole thing is alive. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us in a hadith of Bukhari, مَثَلُ الَّذِي يَذْكُرُ اللَّهِ The example of the one who remembers Allah. وَالَّذِي لَا يَذْكُرُ اللَّهِ And the example of the one who doesn't remember Allah, كَمَثَلِ الْحَيِّ وَالْمَيِّتِ It's like the example of the living and the dead. The one who remembers Allah is the one who is living. The one who doesn't remember Allah is like the one who's dead. We see people alive on the earth, they are walking, but some of these people who are walking on the earth are alive. To the people in the heavens, they are dead. They are dead. And we need to understand that for us to become alive truly is to for us to engage in the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. What does dhikr do? Dhikr is when my mind connects up with Allah Azza wa Jal, whether my tongue moves or not moves, my mind is the main thing that has to connect with Allah. As in Allah is watching me, Allah is seeing me, Allah is listening to me, and I may engage in certain words of saying Subhanallah, saying Alhamdulillah, saying La ilaha illallah, saying Allahu Akbar, saying Astaghfirullah, whatever words I may say, in connecting up with Allah Azza wa Jal, my mind is connected to Allah. This is the electrifying part that brings me alive. It puts me into real connection with the one who gave me life, Al-Muhyi, the one who can make me die, Al-Mumit. That is Allah Azza wa Jal. He has the power. He gave me every energy that I've got inside me, I got from Allah. Every energy that you have inside you, you got from Allah. Without Allah, there is no energy. Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. Allah is the giver of light in the heavens and the earth. Allah is the one that is muhyi, the one al-hayy al-qayyum, the one that is not only ever living and ever sustaining, the one who gave everything life, and the one who sustains everything. So for me to then connect up with my creator, the one who gave me life, is like a piece of building that is connecting up with solar power, getting all of this energy inside. When we are in the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal, we are making huge transformations inside. We are gaining the nur and the light. According to Hadith of Muslim, angels are throwing white dots onto the heart because you're doing a good deed. Any good deed you do, there are white spots that are thrown onto the heart. Any bad deed you do, there are black spots thrown onto the heart. Those white spots onto the spiritual heart make the heart something that is more lively towards listening to Allah, obeying Allah, coming closer to Allah, listening to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wanting to become obedient. Those black spots are those that make our heart, they make it hard. They make it something like, you know, it starts to freeze. It doesn't really want to obey. It doesn't want to listen. It wants to, you know, it starts to stumble. It starts to get harder and harder. And there's disobedience that becomes something which is dominant in the heart, in the mind. That is when a person sins. Allah has put a system where when a person sins, there are black dots placed onto the heart until the whole of the heart goes dark, black, and become very hard. Allah said, ثُمَّ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. Their hearts became very hard regarding certain people who became distant to Allah Azza wa Jal. And they didn't want to listen. They didn't want to obey Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, the opposite happens when I connect up with my Allah. White dots are placed onto the heart. I become more vibrant. I become lively. I become connected to Allah. My obedience level goes up. I automatically start to feel the effects of Quran and Ahadith on me. When I hear a certain Hadith, it moves me. When I hear an ayah, it brings me to tears. Allah has said, Zadatum imana. It even increases the iman. This is all effects of the mind connecting up with Allah Azza wa Jal. This is Dhikrullah. What is Dhikrullah? Dhikrullah, if you're thinking so far, it's only the tasbih, it's only the moments we do tasbih on our fingers. No, that is only part of dhikrullah. Dhikrullah is in every ibadah, every worship that we've got. When we stand in salah, from Allahu Akbar to Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, there is only the dhikrullah, only the remembrance of Allah. And what I'm supposed to do in my salah is I'm supposed to just think of Allah. That is the main purpose of salah, that I am in the dhikr of Allah. Allah said, wa aqimus salata li dhikri. Establish prayers for my remembrance. In fact, Allah said, the thing that will stop me from sinning, the kind of salah that's going to make me stop sinning, is inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. In Surah 29, ayah number 45, Allah says, which kind is going to make me stop sinning? Allah says, wala dhikrullahi akbar. The dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah in salah is the most greatest thing that will allow me to stop sinning outside of salah. Dhikr is in every dua I make. Without that dhikr, without connecting with Allah, Allah doesn't even accept my dua. Allah will not accept the dua from min qalbin ghafil, from a heart that is absent-minded. Dhikr is in my Quran tilawa. When I'm reciting the Quran, it is all dhikr. Every other ayah you come across, you'll find that Allah Azza wa Jalla is moving us back to His remembrance. He ends the ayah by saying, Wallahu ala kulli shay'in qadeer. And Allah has power over everything. He ends the verse by saying, Wallahu bi kulli shay'in aleem. And Allah knows of every single thing. He ends the ayah of telling us, Wallahu sami'un basir. And Allah hears everything and Allah sees everything. Wherever you look in the Quran, you will find a connection with Allah. That is the dhikr of Allah. So in Quran, in dua, in salah, in every time we're actually making some remembrance of Allah, it is known as the dhikr of Allah. From these azkar, from these dhikr, the most supreme of all azkar, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us, hadith of Tirmidhi, أَفْضَلُ الذِّكْرِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. The best form of dhikr is La ilaha illallah. Why is it known as the best form of dhikr? It is because that dhikr puts everything right. That there is nothing that has... First of all, La ilaha, there is no deity except for Allah. La ilaha illallah, there is no one who is a God except for Allah. What does that mean? God, the definition of God is the one who has no limits in any way to do anything and to be, and who is necessarily there and who has no limits to what he wants to do. فَعَالٌ لِمَا يُرِيدٌ. Who is ultimately infinite in every single way. When it comes to power, there's no limit to his power. When it comes to mercy, there's no limit to his mercy. When it comes to knowledge, there is no limit to his knowledge. When it comes to, you know, anything that he wants to do, there is absolutely no limit to what he can do. And that is the definition of God. There is no God. Like, there is no God except for Allah. We know that. There is nothing that has got any power besides Allah, except he got it through Allah Azza wa Jal. There is nothing that has got any knowledge, except Allah gave it that knowledge. Allah Azza wa Jal has told us, وَعَلَّمْنَا. I am the one that I teach. I give knowledge. Allah gives power. Allah gives knowledge. Allah gives a person the agility or a creature the agility to move. So when you say La ilaha illallah, we are saying there is no God but Allah. We are saying there is no power in any sense except from Allah. La ilaha illallah is a manifestation of La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. There is no way I can stay away from any sin, no way I can do any good deed except through Allah. La ilaha illallah is a manifestation of reality. Nothing has got its true existence except for Allah. None of us have got any existence, true existence of our own kind, except through Allah. All of us are dependent on Allah. Nothing is independent from Allah. La ghaniya illallah. Allah says, Ya ayyuha an-nasu antumul fuqara'u ilallah, wallahu huwa al-ghaniyul hamid. Allah says, oh people, you are all in need and dependent on Allah. You're all in complete need of Allah. Wallahu ghaniyun. And Allah is independent. And Allah is most praised. Without needing your praise, He's already hamid. He's already praised. So La ilaha illallah sets the record straight of reality. Anything I look around me, I don't see anyone who's got any power, except it came from Allah Azza wa Jalla. And if Allah wants to take that power away, He can take it any moment He wants. If Allah wants to restore power, He restores it. If Allah wants to increase power, He can do it. If Allah wants to decrease it, He can do it. That's why when we know Allah Azza wa Jalla through what? Allah is Al-Mu'izz. He's the one that gives honor and dignity. He's Al-Mudhil, who abases and puts people down. We understand Allah says, Allahumma Malik al-Mulk. We turn to Allah and say, Malik al-Mulk, one who is in control, 100%, who owns the entire dominion, entire ownership of anyone who owns everything. No one can own anything except that Allah gave it to them, and Allah will take it from them. تُؤْتِ الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. You give part of your dominion to whoever you want. وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ. And you will take it away from whoever you give. Eventually, you'll take it away. Whether it's in this world, whether they're still alive, or whether they've died. But you tanzi'u, you can actually seize it and snatch it away and take it away from someone. تُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ, you dignify who you want. تُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ, you throw down and you abase whoever you want. تُولِجُ اللَّيْلَ فِي النَّهَارِ, you're the one that makes the night turn into the day, and the day turn into the night, that they're interlinked with one another, yet they have the distinct features, yet they are interconnected with one another. تُخْرِجُ الْحَيَّ مِنَ الْمَيِّتِ, you can take a dead thing out of a live thing. وَتُخْرِجُ الْمَيِّتَ مِنَ الْحَيِّ, you can take a live thing, a dead thing out of a live thing out of a dead thing. This is your power. إِنَّكَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ, you are one that has power over everything. This is لا إله إلا الله, manifestation of that, which is you're in power, you're in total power, you do what you like. If you want to, you can extend the night at any moment, you can do that. قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمُ اللَّيْلَ سَرْمَدًا إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ, Allah says, how about if I was to make the night continue, what will you do about it? مَنْ يَأْتِيكُمْ بِضْيَاءٍ, who is the one that's going to give you any light? قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمُ النَّهَارَ سَرْمَدًا إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ, how about suppose I was to make the daylight continue forever, and never cast any shadow upon you, or a night that comes above, you know, over you, what will you do? مَنْ يَأْتِيكُمْ بِلَيْلٍ تَسْكُنُونَ فِيهِ, who's going to bring this night in which you have rest and you find peace? Who's going to do that? We recognize that Allah has full power. Allah says, قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ, how about, do you see, مَا, and the water that you drink, غَوْرًا, if Allah wanted to, He could make it something salty. He could change it. Allah says, if He wanted to, He can make the water salty. If He wanted, He has the power of everything. So everything around us, we recognize that all power comes from Allah. Everything came from Him. Everything goes back to Him. He is in full charge, and He's fully in charge, and He does as He wishes. Now, of course, humans have been given free will, but that free will has been given temporarily, and that free will be taken by Allah Azza wa Jal. At any moment Allah wants to, your health is not guaranteed. You have free will today with your health to roam around. Any moment Allah wants, straight away Allah can do something to the heart, to the lungs, to the spine, to the legs, to the blood flow, to the brain, to the cells. In any moment Allah wants, He can just stop you in your tracks. And Allah can stop me in my tracks. May Allah Azza wa Jal give us the benefit and give us the barakah of good health, say Ameen. So the thing is, we understand that yes, we've got free will, but that free will is limited. And that free will comes from Allah Azza wa Jal. At any moment Allah Azza wa Jal can stop me. The free will to think, Allah can take that away. Allah can put a person in a hospital. They are in that hospital, in a coma. They're not even thinking right now. That free will to think can be taken away any moment Allah has given it. The free will that you've got of moving your arms, your legs, your feet, and going to where you want, Allah can move it anytime He wants. And we recognize in the most supreme dhikr of Allah, La ilaha illallah. When we say that word ilah, all power, all might, every form of unlimited, infinite power that Allah has, the infinity Allah has, it is in that ilaha. La ilaha. There is no one that has illallah except for Allah Azza wa Jal. La ilaha illallah puts me in a state where, oh, once I know all of this, I know that no human can help me. No human can benefit me. No one, except if Allah wills. The hadith of Tirmidhi is very clear. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke to Abdullah bin Abbas, radiallahu anhu, on a conveyance, and he told him, he said, Ya ghulam, O young one, I'm going to teach you, inni u'allimuka kalimat, I'm going to teach you certain words. And he told him, know that if the whole world came together to benefit you, everyone in the whole world comes together to give you some benefit. This is not one community. This is not one group of people. We're talking about the entire West Australia. Entire Australia, all on your side. They all come to benefit you. The whole of the continents of the world, of every person, wants to now do something good to you. But Allah does not want that good to happen to you. Then you can't make it happen. And Allah's messenger says the opposite. If the whole world was to come and be against you, Imagine this whole community is against you. This is the person of La ilaha illallah, what he sees. If so-and-so is against me, so-and-so is against me, but I'm with Allah. And the entire parts of Australia and parts of the world, or maybe the whole world, as the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, they want to harm me. And Allah decides that I'm not going to allow anyone to harm them. Nothing, nothing at all is going to come my way. And that is our faith in La ilaha illallah, which is, He is the one and only in power. So when we now go to do the dhikr of La ilaha illallah, all the dhikr of the entire, whatever we've got in the sunnah of dhikr, it all comes in La ilaha illallah. Because when we see that there is no praise, no one should be praised except for Allah, because no one deserves to have any praise, true praise. Of course, we praise people on the earth, that's fine. مَنْ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ النَّاسِ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ اللَّهِ Whoever doesn't really praise people, doesn't really praise Allah, that's there on the surface level. But on a deep level, we know that the real praise belongs to one and only Allah Azza wa Jal. And therefore, Alhamdulillah comes in La ilaha illallah. When we see that Allah is most splendid in his being, we know that He's so splendid in what He does, then the whole of Subhanallah comes in La ilaha illallah. When we see Allah is the greatest in every aspect, the whole of Allahu Akbar comes in La ilaha illallah. That's why we say that La ilaha illallah is the most supreme zikr. And Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us the zikr, such a zikr, the one and only zikr you will find that you can do by saying it without even having to move your lips. If you close your lips, you seal your lips and you say La ilaha illallah in your mouth. You can have it, La ilaha illallah, just with the tongue moving. And you've just done the dhikr of Allah without anyone knowing that you've done it. And that's why it's also afdhal, because it's also the best, because it has the maximum sincerity. You can do the dhikr without anyone knowing that you're doing that dhikr. La ilaha illallah is most supreme. Why? Because Allah Azza wa Jal, in a hadith of Tirmidhi, says, when a servant says, La ilaha illa anta, there is no other deity or one that has any form of power or anything, or anything they have of their own kind of power or quality, except through you, O Allah. You're the only one and only that gives every form of whatever energy and power and any kind of existence anyone's got. Allah says what? Allah says, La ilaha illa ana. Allah says, there is no one that is a God except for me. There is no one that has all those qualities and so on except for me. You say, La ilaha illa anta. Allah says, La ilaha illa ana. Allah loves it when his servants, jinns and human beings, do dhikr. Why? Because Allah's already got the heavens and the earth that are praising Him. Without any pause or stop, Allah says, تُسَبِّحُ لَهُ سَبْعُ سَمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَمَنْ فِيهِنْ. The whole of the seven heavens and the earth and whatever is in between them, they are praising Allah. They are glorifying Allah Azza wa Jal. The only one Allah gave a free will to do their dhikr and to obey Him and to have the free will to want to do that are the jinns and the human beings. And when we do the dhikr of Allah, Allah Azza wa Jal appreciates it more. Why? Because the angels, the trees, the whole of the existence of the heavens and the earth, all of them are praising Allah, they're glorifying Allah because Allah made them do it. They have to do it because Allah made it in their system to do it. They're always glorifying Allah. Whereas human beings and jinns, we have a free will. When we want to connect with Allah, we do it. But when we do, we had that free will. We went against our free will of disobedience. We went against the free will of wanting to remember anything else. Yet we wanted to prioritize the remembrance of Allah over that. That's why Allah loves it more. When we say La ilaha illallah, we have to understand it's the beginning of our faith. It's the first thing that brings us in our faith. And La ilaha illallah is the last thing that should be on our tongues before we leave this earth. It's our beginning, it's our end. When we get to the next world, La ilaha illallah shows us a new meaning. What is that? It shows us that nothing really mattered to us except for Allah. On the day of judgment, my mother's going to run away from me. My father will run away from me. The Quran says that يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ. Brother will run away. صَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ. Your own wife and your children will run away. So did they really matter? No. Who is the one that I can't run away from on this Day of Judgment? Allah says لَا مَلْجَأَ مِنَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا إِلَيْهِ. There is no other way of you running away anywhere, except that you come to Him. And we realize that everyone is in absolute awe of Allah because of what they've done. And any rescue you have, any way of any rescue mission you have on this day is through Allah. And the only one that matters on this day is Allah. And that is a new way of looking at La ilaha illallah, because nothing really mattered. All the things I had, possessions on this earth, they were only a means to an end. And I'll find out on the Day of Judgment, all those things perished. My money's perished. My gold perished. My silver perished. But the sadaqah remained. And the ajr and the reward of sadaqah went to the akhirah. And that's in form of hasanat. And that is the only thing that will probably, if I now bargain my sadaqah with Allah, of good hasanat, of good deeds, all the things that, all the good deeds that I did on the earth, if I bargain that with Allah, then إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةَ. I can gain my Jannah, I can gain Allah Azza wa Jal through the exchange of giving these things to Allah and now getting something in return. That is a new way of looking La ilaha illallah. When we go to Jannah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us, every person in Jannah is going to breathe in and breathe out the dhikr of Allah. The one and only thing that really matters for us in Jannah is going to be Allah. Because when we're in Jannah and we've been given every single gift on this earth of what we would have wished in Jannah, every single gift we would have ever wished in Jannah, we've been given that. And then Allah Azza wa Jal says, are you pleased, O people of Jannah? And the people of Jannah say, yes, of course we are pleased. How will we not be pleased when you have whitened our faces, when you have brightened our faces, when you have saved us from the fire? Allah says, should I give you something more? And they say, what can be more? Allah says, أُحِلُّ عَلَيْكُمْ رِضْوَانِي. First Allah says, I'm going to now announce to you that I have given you my permanent happiness and my pleasure is with you. I'm never going to be upset with you again. And people are so happy in Jannah. Then another time Allah asks, هَلْ تَرْضَوْنَ. Are you all pleased? And we all say, and people of Jannah all say, yes, of course we're pleased. Why wouldn't we be pleased? Allah says, Allah then wants to give us something more. What's more than that? More than that is the ru'ya of Allah, is to see Allah Azza wa Jal. And Allah will tell His angels to remove the veils that He has between us and between Him. And Allah Azza wa Jal puts everyone on cushions, reclining in different positions, in different parts of Jannah. And everyone, some sit, some are in the air, some are in different places. Allah arranges it like a whole theater where everyone's going to be in a different position to see Allah. And when Allah tells the angels to remove the veil between Him and His servants, and the servants see Allah, they forget the entire Jannah. They forget the rivers, they forget the beauty of Jannah, they forget everything that they ever received in Jannah, they forget the women of Jannah, they forget the hura'een of Jannah, they forget the gold and silver and the diamonds and rubies of Jannah. We forget the faces of Jannah, we forget the people of Jannah, we forget the beauty of Jannah, because we've seen Allah, because Allah, look, He has no limit to His beauty. Just as who He is, there is no limit to anything He has. And when we see that, that is La ilaha illallah, something that is not, there's no beauty without Allah. There's no real existence without Allah. There is no one who can become anything on this earth without Allah Azza wa Jalla. And that is the power of La ilaha illallah. So however much you can, let's turn on our minds in our salah, in our dua, in our tasbih, in our tilawa, in our Quran recitation, in our ibadat, in our forms of worship, and think of Allah Azza wa Jal, because when we do that, we connect with Allah, we electrify ourselves, we make ourselves come alive, we remove our sins from inside us, we replace it with nur and light, we become obedient, we get connected to Allah, we find our energy connecting to Allah, and most of all, we start seeing the world in a different way, and we start seeing the power of Allah in every single thing. in every single thing around us. And we become those people who then connect up with Allah, and we find Him in our hearts in this world, we find Him in the Akhirah, we get to see Him, and Allah Azza wa Jal will give that to those who've connected up to Him, connected to Him, and tried their best to make an effort to remember Him as much as they can. Allah says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, udhkurullah, remember Allah, dhikran kathira, a remembrance that is abundant, wasabbihuhu, and glorify Him, bukratan wa asila, morning and evening. Allah tells us to constantly be in His remembrance. May Allah give us tawfiq. Jazakum wa khair. Wa akhir da'wana. And alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
So two or three questions, inshallah, if anyone has, then we can perhaps take those questions and then we will end, inshallah.
Thank you very much for the
Hayyakumullah.
I was supposed to be there on Friday in Masjid Rahman and I missed your khutbah. What was it about?
Oh, la ilaha illallah.
I have work.
Anyone was there in Masjid Rahman for the? Anyone was there? No, someone must have been there.
I was there.
He was there. What was it about? You don't remember? Sorry, you tell him later on. We'll tell you later on, inshallah.
It's all about Allah.
It's a whole khutbah, and we've got to get going. I'm gonna not be able to repeat the whole thing right now, but we'll leave it at that, inshallah. Anyone else with the question?
Sheikh, we were wondering if you emphasized a little bit of importance of going to a maktab, sending their kids to a maktab, and also adult and children equally, how important it is to go to a maktab to learn the deen of Islam, if you were kindly...
So coming to a place of learning, maktab, madrasa and so on, is important because it's the foundation of everything that we will ever learn and get to know what to do. Without that, you don't know what to do in the religion. You don't actually know what to do. You can see people that are there praying and you're copying them. You're following them, you're copying them. But that is not really our own form of knowledge. Real impetus inside us, something that drives us forward, is my own knowledge. And that's why we come to the maktab. And most importantly, please, your children. Don't miss out on sending your children to these places of learning, because when children go through, you know, beyond a certain age, you can't do anything to control them, to make them learn. It's only at that young age that you have to instill it at that young age. And when they're young, they're so cute. And they're like so innocent. And this kid is, always going to listen to me. No, he's not. He's going to mutate to something else, you know. The kids, when they get to 12, 13, 14, they become something else. They'll get their own mind. They get their own, you know, own way of thinking for the future, and you're no longer a person who they think they should listen to. But if those important information coming from Allah and His Messenger, if they are instilled in the young person at a young age, it gives them that drive to listen to you because of Allah, because of the Messenger, because of the Akhirah. They're not listening to you because, you know, you're just the source. No. They will listen to you because of their connection with Allah, their connection with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's a very important part, because every behavior that we've got, every etiquette that we've got, everything that gives us, you know, the thing that what makes us a Muslim, comes from that education, and that education is not there without the connection to the Quran and the Sunnah. So do send them, and yourself as adults come and learn from what these centers have, these madaris and these centers of learning have. Send them, go there. Don't just leave it to you learning your religion from other sources. You cannot learn Islam from the internet. You can't. You cannot learn from the internet. Why? Because first is, you don't know what's genuine on the internet. Even if you go to a genuine place on the internet, you're only getting one thing. You're only getting information, but you're not getting human. You're not getting human change. Human change happens with another human in front of you, in real time. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent, he says, Bu'ithtu mu'allima, I was sent as a teacher. So the teaching you may get online, But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, Bu'ithu li'utammima makarim al-akhlaq. I have been sent as one who is there to perfect human character. That part you won't get. You might get the information, but you won't be able to mold yourself. The molding of oneself according to deen happens face to face in real time, in front of one another, in front of a teacher, in front of a real teacher. So take benefits of this, inshallah. Any other questions?
So from the importance of kalima and getting into the heart, so if you can give some practical tips as to how in our daily life we can practice to give that a sense of la ilaha illallah, awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our heart, practical tips of actually vigor or contemplation or sitting. For a starter, how do we do that?
There are multiple ways of getting that into the heart. I mean, ultimately it takes some time. A person needs to have the right knowledge, the right belief. You do an aqidah course, or you go and do a course where they teach you about the beliefs about Allah Azza wa Jalla, because you could be in error in the way you're thinking about Allah. So as I said to you, it's all about me thinking Allah is watching me, Allah hears me, Allah knows me. That's the way to do it, okay? But you have to do a proper course to know what things to think about, what things not to think about, how to, have the right beliefs. But also with my ibadah, with my worship, I need to try and make an exerted effort to put my mind into the right place with the devotion that I need. The more you do that over time, the easier it becomes. Also with my practice of Islam, following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in every aspect, however I can, it draws you closer and closer to Allah. And that la ilaha illallah automatically manifests, automatically settles in your heart. For that to settle in the heart, when I say settle in the heart, of course we're all believers. But for it to become very deep conviction in our hearts, it takes a person to engage with the a'mal and the practices of the deen. And the more you do it, the more you become, the more automatically you feel the fluidity of la ilaha illallah, you feel the presence of it, you feel the effects of it. You feel that your heart gets softer, you feel that it is easier for you to stay away from sin. Because now you've gained taqwa, now you've gained the ability to stay away from sins. And that becomes then again another step towards getting closer to the remembrance of Allah. And a person can go carry on, there are many darajat, there are many different levels. The lowest level is that a person, knows that Allah Azza wa Jal is watching him, seeing him, hearing him, and he might be touch and go, but that's the lowest level. The highest level is a person does not see anything around him or anyone around him that has got anything at all of the real power of their own kind, except that Allah gave it to them, and Allah is in charge of it, and Allah sustains it, and Allah can take it away any moment he wants. But that happens at a higher level. But a person needs to carry on engaging the mind, having the right beliefs, doing the right practice, and you do it over time, and then you gain all that. Is there a question at the back somewhere? Yes.
Assalamualaikum Shaykh. It's more of a personal question. From a career perspective, your master in educational psychology, was it complementing you with your RE course, or was it a setback, or how was that transition? Was it a step up?
Yes.
I've seen a lot of Islamic kids going through this psychology process these days, and they want to be in the science. So what would you advise on that?
So look, modern day psychology and Western psychology doesn't really have any space for religion in it, let alone Islam. Doesn't have any space for religion. I had already finished my alim course before I went to study psychology. So if they were saying things that were not to do with religion or not even engaging it, and saying, the human has his own psyche, the human thinks himself is independent from anything outside, all these things are there, but I'm not going to look at it like that. I've got my faith. So any student that's going towards psychology or philosophy or any of these sciences needs to be careful. Your iman needs to be strong before you go down that pathway. Because you can easily have your iman undone. You can easily go for a degree and then you start to question about your faith. Because that's what they'll do. The philosophy of the Western civilization and psychology has departments where they make you question your own beliefs. They make you question your subconscious mind. And we know there are limitations to your questioning. Now, we wouldn't put those questions, like Allah's Messenger has told us that one of the ways shaitan will work is that he will carry on saying, you know, who's the creator of this, who created this, and eventually a person then, you know, shaitan takes a person to the question of فَمَنْ خَلَقَ اللَّهُ. So who created Allah, right? So it's a shaitan trap. It's a trap of the shaitan that will take you down that pathway. Now, if you're not ready for it, and you're going for a studies that is going to make you question like that, you have to be careful. So either your faith is very strong, or you have Muslim teachers or Muslim individuals around you where you can find your grounding in the religion with the questions that come to your mind. You can ask imams and Muslims around you, and they will reassure you of your faith. Then alhamdulillah. Otherwise, you need to be slightly careful of going into this thing, into this whole science. So for me, it wasn't a question, because I had studied the deen for many years with my teachers. So these questions wouldn't really bother me, and I wouldn't even entertain them. But for somebody else, it might be the thing. Right? It might be the question. So there are youngsters who are looking for good jobs and so on in these departments, which is fine. But even when you're working, we have to understand that we may be limited to what we can say to someone in counseling. Let's say you're a counselor now in giving, you know, some kind of counseling to someone, or you're a child psychologist. In their field, you can't use God and you can't use Allah and you can't use faith to try and talk to. But if you've got the right, you know, iman, you can sort of say the same things without mentioning those, you know, without mentioning Allah and without mentioning God. You can do that. But it still takes you still need your knowledge in Islam to be very, very strong, so that you know how to direct yourself. Can we end it there, because it's 1:45 and we're going to slowly start? Yeah. Jazakumullah khair. Akhdawan alhamdulillah.
La ilaha illallah.